It's Friday, July 15th, and this is episode 29 of the Shaunakee, Death of a Dishwasher, Part 2. But first, a quick promo for TSFPN.com. For the Shaunakee, I'm Patrick McLean. We're back with another exciting installment of Interview with a Zombie. My guest today is the zombie formerly known as Bob. Bob, before the break, you were telling us about your love for the sci-fi podcast network, TSFPN.com. Why, yes, Bob, it certainly does have something for everyone. Well, of course you're a busy zombie. I mean, who isn't these days? That's why you're glad TSFPN has collected the best in podcasting all in one convenient place. Not until after you finished your interview. Well, there you have it, folks. Straight from the zombie's mouth, TSFPN.com, the place for out-of-this-world entertainment.
Listen, man, I'm really here. I know you ain't got no reason to owe me any favors, but, man, you gotta come in and bail me out. I got nobody here. Come on, what do you say?
Billy's not really listening. He's more concerned with a rough patch in his throat where the sleeping pills crammed together on their way to his stomach.
Okay, you got plans, man. I understand. You're a busy man. You got a lady friend or some shit. Well, what about time and a half?
Billy's stomach is awash in diphenhydramine, a chemical which clinical trials reveal helps people get to sleep 38% faster. But in the quantities that Billy has ingested, even the sternest clinician would predict chance of death 100%.
Come on, man. It'll make up for that other thing. I'm a man on the edge here. You got to help me out.
Okay.
By the time he gets to work, Billy knows that the end is close. But what does he care? Like so many of us, he's just passing time until the inevitable denouement. He gathers a few dishes from the night before, pans and bowls from the afternoon's prep work, slides the rack into the dishwashing machine, and tucks a cigarette into the corner of his mouth. After all that work, it's time for a break. What are they going to do? Fire him? He pulls the guillotine-like handle on the machine and collapses. Caught between a stool, the wall, and the dishwashing machine, his body and the tip of his unlit cigarette vibrate with the action of the machine. On the other side of the kitchen, orders are coming in fast and furious. The order printer rattles on in a continuous drone. Wave after wave of waiters charge into the kitchen, brandishing trays like the shields of some primitive tribe. But each time, George repels the charge with plate after plate of food. A continuous stream of sweat and obscenities pour from George. Later, a waiter will swear he saw George sear a piece of fish using only the word "f-." He's a man running so fast, the only way he will be able to stop is by falling down. It's heroism, plain and simple. Despite the worst the restaurant throws at him, George holds the line. And does he notice that the dishwasher has collapsed?
I ain't got time to answer your bullshit questions. Run this food to table number 12.
Okay, George. Out in the dining room, Nichols, the manager, is three drinks into the evening and doing what he does best. Nothing.
Is everybody enjoying their evening tonight? Can I get anyone a fresh drink?
We don't drink.
You don't drink? How do you expect to be preserved for posterity?
Good old clean living, friend.
Oh, you're serious.
You're the manager?
Yes, sir, I am.
Our food seems to be taking an awful long time.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Everything takes forever when I am sober, too.
Excuse me?
Let me tell you what. I'm going to get you a couple of Shirley Temples on the house and go check on your food.
In the kitchen, George notices he's running out of clean sauté pans.
Hot pan!
Usually, throwing a glowing hot pan into the dishwashing station gets a response. But this time, nothing. George is disappointed. He decides next time he's aiming straight for Billy's head.
Damn straight!
Hey, George, I noticed that the check times are slowing down a little bit.
Nichols, I'm way too busy to be f***ing with you right now. You best get out of my kitchen.
George, why such hostility? I'm just here to help. Can I do anything to help?
Well, I don't know. Can you do anything to help?
George, you wound me, sir.
See if you can get some work out of that f***ing dishwasher.
On the way to the dish station, Nichols makes a quick run to the walk-in freezer, where he keeps a bottle of vodka hidden behind a side of beef for just such an emergency. Warmed and fortified, Nichols prepares for a display of management bravura. First, a way of identification, some little bit of commonality. He approaches the dishwasher.
Hey, smoke break. I could use one of those myself.
He lights the dishwasher cigarette and then one of his own. Sure, there's no smoking in the kitchen, but sometimes breaking the rules is the best way to make someone feel special. Nichols thinks this is all part of his management style.
You know, I washed dishes once. Yeah, long time ago. And now look at me. I own my own place. Yeah, I know, same bullshit everybody tells you. Pull yourself up. But I'll tell you straight. You've been doing real good here. I've been keeping an eye on you. And you keep this up, maybe another week or so, we're going to move you out to silence. See what you can do on the cold line. You do good with that? Well, then we'll see. See, you finish your break and then just get back at it. Just know this isn't a never-ending pile of dishes. I mean, you got to be moving up, or what's the point? Might as well just kick off right now.
Nichols walks away. He doesn't even need to make sure the dishwasher goes back to work. He knows there's no way anybody can resist that speech.
Nichols, you're so good. I think we've earned another drink.